Well, I'd like to greet each one this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I've been blessed this morning already being here. And you're probably going to see more of us. We have ties here. We have two daughters and two son-in-laws and five grandchildren. And we make our home in Fairplay area. Where we moved to here a few weeks ago, so it's we come down here some, so it's good. But you don't really feel like strangers to me for some reason. I mean, you feel like I know you for a long time, many of you. So it's always good to come here. So Lord bless you, and I appreciate the ministers here. By the way, Jerry, the guy right here, he did a kitchen for us here last week. I seen him. A couple of days last week, or one day at least, and he makes things happen. So if you guys want your kitchen tore apart, well, call Jerry, huh? He did a good job. I tell you, Martha's real happy what he done, and really appreciate it. So, okay, the message this morning, what I felt that God has laid upon my heart, is Colossians chapter 3. If you want to turn your Bibles, I preach from the King James. That's the one I know. That's not the only Bible I know that, but that's the one I use and I have for many years. And so that's Colossians chapter 3. It is a new life. And I've wondered, you know, about this chapter many times already. As I look at this chapter, I wonder, what is Paul talking about? Because the people here in Colossians, they have changed their life. They accepted Christ. They came from the Old Testament, and they made commitments. So what is important? And I'd just like to read some of these verses and come back and make a few comments, okay? The question is, number one, if they then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections or your mind on the things above and not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then it talks about mortifying. It talks about the word mortify means put to death. Therefore, your members, and that's not talking about putting to death the members beside you in the church. It's talking about, it's personal. It's about, too often I think the church takes this the wrong way. It's talking about yourself. If you have things in your own life that are sinful, you put them to death. Get rid of them. And here are some of the things that are mentioned in, that Paul talked about. But I'm going to stop here for a little bit. And I want to go back and just touch on a few things what I believe he's talking about. The number one thing I had to think about this morning, you know, when you accepted Christ, how did you do it? Did you just follow the church rules and you just automatically became a member? Did you have a spiritual connection, a drawing under conviction when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? How did it happen? I'm not going to ask anyone to testify, but just let your mind take a little trip. Last weekend, I was asked to give a testimony how I came to Christ at the church where we attend, where our son Scott preaches there. And I was asked to just share a few minutes. Boy, that took me back quite a few years. My mind went all the way back, you know, when I came to Christ. And I remembered the conviction, I remembered the altar call, I remembered a lot of things. It was all the way back when one of our daughters was a baby. And it just took my mind back, and I'm not too sure if I really enjoyed going back that far again. But as I was thinking, some of the things to share about how I came to Christ, it really caused me to think. And I got to realize, and I hope you're in the same way, I got to realize I am not where I want to be this morning. Especially when I compare my life with Christ. I'm not where I want to be. But I can tell you this morning, I'm not where I used to be. How about you? That is very important that we know which way we're headed. And here it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, let's just think about it. Have you made that commitment? Did you count the cost? When you came to Christ, did you realize that the world system has to strangely grow dim? Too often people, when they come to Christ, they continue on their life just like they did before. And there's nothing really happened. They might have had, you know, problem with pornography. Maybe they had problem with tobacco, alcohol, gossip, all these things. Maybe they had the problem before that, and they continue on in them. That is what Paul is challenging the Colossian people. There's a new life. There's a new power that you're connecting to. The world is the world. You chose to come out from among the world and live a separate life between you and Christ. Amen? That's what Paul is teaching the Colossian people. And I believe that they had made changes. As I looked at this, and I studied a little bit on the commentary on history, the Colossian people, the believers, have been freed from sin. They have also turned to a new life, leaving behind old ways, habits, values, vices, interests, and sins. They have left those things behind. Yes, they quit a lot of the things on their own strength. But you know what they did not do? As it goes on about seeking, what they did not do is to include a deeper knowledge. The question is, you know, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, what book do you read? Like if we travel, we use a map or we plug it into GPS and it'll take us where we're going most of the time. Sometimes it don't, but this book, the Holy Word of God, once you accept Christ, this is the book. The Bible, God's Word, is what teaches you how to follow Christ. It teaches you the things that you do that are wrong, that are sinful, that you grow out of, that you follow the Word of God by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you got to say no to those things. And that's what that comes from a deeper knowledge to follow Christ. In closer fellowship with Him, experience of His resurrection power and victory over sin. Those are some of the things that a Christian needs. And that's what Jesus said in one place. He says, count the cost. Have you count the cost, what it's going to cost to follow me? And as you think of that, and it says, set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In verse 3, I enjoy that, in verse 3, in verse 2 as well, it says, set your mind on things above. Then it goes on in my commentary, I'm reading here, it says, dwell on things that are not wrong in themselves. You know, there's a lot of things that are not wrong in themselves, but you don't dwell on them. They don't keep you from church. They don't keep you from worship. And it's a blessing to come together as God's people to worship in like precious faith. It's a real blessing. In verse 3, it reads like this, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, in my commentary it says, your life is deposited with Christ. Now if you, how many guys work, have a job here? How many guys have a job here? Okay, now there's automatic deposit some places, and some places they'll give you a check. So which one do you like the best? But anyhow, I don't answer. But anyhow, your money is going to be deposited. So, when you come to know Christ, you deposit your life in the hands of Christ. That is what this really means. You give life. You give your life to Christ. You deposit your life to Christ. Now, how do you draw from that? You draw from that in the Word of God. Now, I think that's what Paul was trying to teach the people here. As they deposit their life to Christ, they trust Him. Now you got to trust your bank. If you wouldn't trust your bank, why would you put money into it? Why would you deposit your money? If you couldn't trust Christ, why would you deposit your life in the hands of Christ? We trust Him. And then we can draw from it. We can draw from the Word of God in His resurrection power and His forgiveness and His victory. You know, I had to think when I was thinking about this, you know, the story of the amazing grace. John Newton was a very wicked man. I'm sure you know the story, but he was a wicked young fella. And on a stormy night on the sea, he was a slave trader. On a stormy night on the sea, God spoke to him through the storm. But to make a long story short, what really blesses me is the song of Amazing Grace. He's the one that put the words of that song, Amazing Grace. I think it's been changed a little bit over the years. But I've got a lot of miles and a lot of thoughts from that beautiful song, Amazing Grace. When he was an old man, history tells you, when he was an old man, he said, "My life is nearly gone." He couldn't see the best, he couldn't hear the best, but he says there's one thing that he remembers, that he is a great sinner. And Jesus is a great forgiver. What amazing grace. And it tells us in verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Verse 5, it talks about mortifying. Put to death. Fornication. These are like mind things, uncleanness, that you are to get rid of. And I have to think, you know, evil speaking of other churches or your neighbor or fellow people. These are things that you shouldn't do. You should get victory over them. In the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "It does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own." There's the word seek. "Seeketh not her own. Not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." You know, sometimes it's easy to be easy provoked. And it's a challenge probably to all of us. Things get under our skin sometimes. You know, we're easy provoked and we say things that we shouldn't say. I think those are areas that we need to grow. Words that hurt, that cut deep in the hearts of those that we love. It says we should mortify them. That word mortify, again, I come back and it says put to death. Put to death. Get victory over them. There is power to get victory over them. A lot of times maybe we get the idea and say with this verse, well, the world system has so much to offer. I believe, folks, there's things that we need to be careful with. You know, all electronics that are coming, that are we invite into our homes, we carry them with us. We need to be very careful how they shape our lives. We need to know where to turn away from. We need wisdom from God. I think a lot of things are good, but we need to know, we need to draw the line to how far we can go. What is it doing to us? For which things is the sake, the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience. You know, the Apostle Paul was teaching these people really the holiness of God. So often, I think these people here, they just came through the law. Back in the Old Testament, where it used to be eye for eye, tooth for tooth, now they're being taught to forgive. Somebody speaks evil against you, you don't speak evil back about them. What you do, you pray for them. Instead of speaking evil, you pray for them. We're living in a new dispensation. We're living in a time of forgiveness. We're living in a time of grace. Not getting even with our neighbor. Not to speak evil of other people. This is the new life. Then he reminds us in verse 7. He says, "In the which ye also walked in a time past, when ye lived in them. Come out from among them and be ye separate." The world is the world, and the church is the church. "But now ye also put off all these." You put off anger? Anybody have a problem with anger sometimes? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? I know I do. But you put that off. Wrath, getting even, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Do you know that we have to give an account for every word that we speak? We have to. Nobody else will, but we will. Do you have a problem even after you were a Christian with bad language? Words that probably don't fit as a Christian? You have a problem with that? It says we should put these off. The word is not condemning us. It's helping us to grow, to get victory over these things. Then we said we shouldn't lie one to another. We shouldn't use the untruth, even if it fits. We should never lie. The untruth. Why shouldn't we lie? Because our enemy, the devil, is a liar. He was that from the beginning. That's where lies come from. Lies come from Satan. And he's teaching these people that you should not lie. Don't do that. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And I think the next verse really is what we need, people, as Christians, to follow Christ. When we put something off, there's an empty void. There's a void. There's an emptiness. You get rid of something in your life. You got victory over it. Then what do? Did it even empty? Absolutely not. You fill it. You fill it how? In verse 10 it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You invite Christ in that emptiness. Tell him to fill that void. And who are these people? Paul put a stamp on it and he says, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither Mennonite or Baptist. There's neither Amish or Beachy or whatever your background is. Whatever church you come from, salvation is for all people. Salvation is free. It's a free gift. But guess what it costs you? It costs every one of us our will. Jesus reaches for one thing. He wants our will. We need to give him that. We need to give him our will. He reaches for that. And that's what he wants. But on his part, it is free. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. It is a free gift from Jesus Christ. That's probably why so many people turn away from it. It's too cheap. If they could earn it, if they could work for it, if they could buy it, they would work night and day to pay for it. But it's a gift. It's a free gift. To finish this up in verse 15, it brings out, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, that's what I think a lot of times. The Christian life is supposed to be a happy life. And so few are. So few are. If you go to a ball game, the people are excited, they're happy, they're laughing. When you stand and look at the church people, they look like they lost their last friend. They frown. Where's your peace? Where's our peace? The peace of God should rule our hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Appreciate the song service this morning, praise time. It was great. Those songs had tremendous words to them. They blessed my heart to be here. But it says in 17, and whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. A few thoughts, in the closing thoughts here. These are some of the recipes that I use for my own life. I find them in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in you. Again, how can we have his mind? It's through his word. We become like our parents because we're with him. We're with them. We think like they do. And we even favor them. We talk like they do because we were raised that way. When you give your life and your heart to Christ, you want his mind. And it will, you will have it if you're serious. Question is, what are you seeking for this morning? The Apostle Paul told the people back in the church of Colossians, he said, seek first. Seek. And also Jesus talked about that. In chapter 6 in Matthew verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. After all these things are money, clothes, all these things is what the Gentiles were seeking. I wonder sometimes what the Mennonites are seeking, because I'm a Mennonite. What are they seeking for? They were seeking for wealth. They were seeking for clothes. What are we going to wear tomorrow? What are we going to do tomorrow? They're worried about tomorrow. They're worried about a lot of things. You know, I think someone said one time, for the things that people worry about, probably 99% of the time, it never happens. It may one time. It may. But they worry about things. It's an emptiness. It wears you down. It causes sickness. Jesus put a stamp on that in Matthew 6:33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Think about eternity. Where will you spend eternity? What are you seeking for? Are you going to stay here, or are you going to go home to be with Christ? Jesus said in his own words, he says, first, seek the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is the word of God. Then all these things that the Gentiles seek shall be added unto you. So I hope and pray this morning there's a few things said that challenge your thinking about being a Christian. When he talked to the church there, he said, seek, seek. Seek is a powerful word. Jesus said, if you seek, you shall find. If you put some effort forth and you find, and you want to find something, you seek it. You don't just look around one time and you quit. You seek. You don't give up. Just a little bit in the closing thought, a little bit of what I shared last week in my testimony. I remember back in when I was a young boy, I was baptized in the age of 17. Then I was 30 years old when I went to the altar, and there's something happened. The reason that happened is because I was seeking Christ. I was seeking. I wanted to. My background was different from the Mennonites. I grew up Amish. And I wanted more. I wanted a deeper relationship with Christ. I was drunk with religion, so to speak. That's what I had. I was taught that. I knew the way of being accepted by the community, by my parents, by my grandparents. I knew all that. But I was empty between here and there. You know, if you're empty this morning, I challenge you to keep seeking. Keep seeking Christ. Because there's a Holy Spirit that will direct you. It will draw you. Him that cometh to me will I in no wise cast out. So if you're in that place where you feel empty, you need to talk to somebody. There's people that will pray with you. They will show you the way. There's a lot of emptiness in the church today. I really believe it is. There's people, they're not sure. They're thinking about, is it worth it? I came from the back, the home church, you know, and I've been around people, maybe even families. Is it really worth it? It is worth it. It is worth it. Satan would tell you, just leave the church. Go follow the world. Have your good times. Just do whatever the body wants to do. Just have fun. Go ahead and do it. But then, when the trumpet sounds, where will you spend eternity? It is good to think ahead. It is good to think down the road to see what is going to happen. One out of one still die. One out of one still going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. And Jesus came to pay the way. That is why we need to be serious about Christ. The road is open to glory. There is a home prepared for the righteous. There is a home prepared for those that have victory over sin and follow Christ. There is a home for you and I. So hang on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Seek Him. Seek Him, not only on Sunday mornings, but do it every day of the week. Amen? Follow Him the best way you know how, and that is through His Word. May God bless you. You want to stand for prayer? Just let your mind think a little bit this morning. Don't look around. Just think about your life. If you would die this afternoon, if God would call you home, where will you spend eternity? Think about it. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Just a moment of silence this morning. Maybe you have something that you want to tell Jesus in words of whisper. Just talk to Him. Father, I come to You in Jesus' name, and I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You that You want us to seek You. Thank You for Paul's writings this morning that we're in so need of that, and I am in my life. I want to seek You. I want to find You. And I want to have a deeper relationship with You. I want to walk with You. I want to feel You. I know You in my presence. I want to feel it in every moment of step I take. Lord, if there's needs here this morning, You're so full of wisdom, You're so wise. Just come down, Lord Jesus, in Your own way and wrap arms around these people. If they're struggling, maybe they're thinking about quitting or giving up and going through a hard time, I pray through the precious blood this morning that You would bind Satan's power. Give them freedom, give them peace, give them joy. Help us to take our mind towards the glory world, towards heaven, where You are, Lord Jesus. You tell us in Your word in Hebrews that we should come boldly to the throne of grace. We have rights to come to You. You're inviting us to talk to You. Lord, I thank You for these people this morning. Thank You for the leadership. Thank You for the children. Thank You for the young people and the middle-aged, all that are here, Lord. You love us. You care for us. You love us more than what we words can speak. We know our parents loved us, Lord Jesus, but You loved us so much that You died and You shed Your precious blood that we don't have to spend eternity in a burning fire. Lord Jesus, just glorify Yourself because You're our King. You're our Savior. Bind Satan's power around each one of us and give us a good day and a good week. We call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.